Thank you for giving me the opportunity to present our research at Washington State University, where we apple breeding program where we evaluate the utility of near infrared spectroscopy for non-destructive fruit phenotyping. Before I continue, I want to acknowledge the funding sources and the palm fruit breeding team for such a massive team effort. The data set collection was spearheaded by Jamie Coggins, a previous master's student who graduated last year. So apple production in Washington State accounts for about 70% of the nation's apple production. The Washington State University Apple Breeding Program plays a major role in developing apple varieties that are particularly suited for Washington State production in the central region shown within this triangle. And to better represent this region for the development of new apple varieties, the breeding program grows, maintains, and makes selections at four main sites shown by the stars here. But as a perennial horticultural crop that is selected primarily based on eating quality. Breeders have to wait about 4 to 6 years from initial crossing before fruit evaluation can be made, whether by sensory analysis or instrumental analysis. And as if that's not enough of a challenge, fruit set can be limited and inconsistent in the early years, which makes sensory evaluation and instrumental lab analysis sometimes mutually exclusive. So here is an incomplete list of selections grown at three sites. As a quick note, the left column under each location corresponds to whether or not we are able to harvest fruits in 2015, and then the right column corresponds to whether we're able to harvest fruit in 2016. But as you can see here, the figure is littered quite inconsistently with black cells, meaning that we were just not able to harvest anything. And even for the white cells where we're able to harvest fruits, sometimes there were just insufficient fruit to collect. And so we don't have enough fruits to do both analysis, sensory and instrumental lab analysis. So here's a complete list of selections that we use in our data set. So given the limitations of insufficient fruit set, particularly with younger trees, it would be advantageous for the breeding program to use a non-destructive measure to characterize post-harvest traits. Well, in the past half a century or so, especially in the past couple of decades, near-infrared spectroscopy has been touted as a harvest maturity indicator, being highly correlated with post-harvest traits. And the two main traits that have been used quite consistently in the literature dry matter concentration and soluble solid content. And as shown in this figure, NIR covers a range from 780 to 2500 nanometer wavelengths, but in most of the literature, the 700 to 1000 nanometer wavelengths has been the one that is reported. So here are just some examples of NIR being applied in various crops. And most of the work published to date have focused on NIR prediction accuracy when applied on a handful of varieties where there are a lot of replications. But in our work, we hope to shed light on NIR prediction accuracy in the context of a breeding program where we have a lot of selections but limited number of replications. So in these experiments, fruits were harvested when they reached a 3-5 starch iodine index. After harvest, they were then stored at refrigerated atmospheric storage at 2 degrees Celsius for 2 months. After that, they were equilibrated at room temperature for a week to simulate consumer experience at grocery stores before we conducted any sensory evaluation and instrumental lab analysis. So for the analysis, five fruits, in this case, five biological replicates were used. We will scan an intermediate side of the apple on the Felix 7 F750. And the reason we shine on the intermediate side is because apple fruit has both the sun side and the shade side. Then for destructive analysis, dry matter concentration was measured by taking a cylindrical core out of it and dehydrating it. The other intermediate side was subjected to juicing, where we collected information such as soluble solid content, firmness, and titratable acidity. I just want to make a quick note here that for dry matter concentration, we have collected information in 2015 and 2016, but for the juice instrumental analysis, we only have the data for 2016. So perhaps now you can see that what we're trying to do here is to correlate the destructively derived measurements with the non-destructive NIR spectra so that if the prediction was deemed reliable, perhaps breeders may never have to sample fruits again until they reach an optimal harvest date. So here are the NIR spectra for the fruits harvested in 2015 and 2016. So in doing external validation, meaning the use of a subset of fruits to predict the post-harvest trait of another subset of fruits, there are three key metrics to be mindful of. The first is RMSBP, root mean square error of prediction, which was measured by fitting the validation model through partially squared regression. So in this case, the smaller RMSBP will translate to a higher prediction accuracy. The second metric to be mindful of is the reference standard deviation of the data set of the validation model. So keep in mind that this is the intrinsic property of just the validation model. It has nothing to do with the calibration model. So these two metrics can be combined to compute RPD, or ratio of performance to deviation, where higher RPD would translate to a higher prediction accuracy, with less than 1.5 being not predictive. So in our analysis, we created a subset for calibration model using 10 selections and another subset for validation using 3 selections. As you can see here, all 13 selections have fruits harvested across 3 locations in 2 years. In essence, we tested the prediction accuracy of within year and across year by doing 4 separate validations. So let me walk you through what I meant by that. So first, we calibrated a 2015 model to validate a 2015 test set. That would be a within year. Another within year would be we calibrated a 2016 set to validate a 2016 test set. And then we also calibrated a 2015 set to validate 2016 set. So that would be an across year or between years. And the final combination is we calibrated a 2016 set to validate 2015 set. And here are the results for prediction accuracy of within versus between years for dry matter concentration. So this is a modified box plot with a plus sign in the middle representing the mean of the data set and a notch representing 95% of confidence interval. Just for your reference, the instrumental data points are in the middle, while the left data points correspond to the predicted value when using 2015 prediction model. When using 2015 calibration model. While the right box plot corresponds to the predicted value when using the 2016 calibration model. So that would be a cross-year validation. So here in 2015, we see that the 2015 calibration model is more predictive in predicting the instrumental value based on 3 metrics. First one is the overlapping 95% confidence interval, a higher RPD value, and a higher correlation value. And we actually see the same trend again in 2016, where the 2016 calibration model is more accurate in predicting the 2016 instrumental value than using the across year. So what does that mean? It shows that within year calibration is more robust in predicting the same year for the validation set. And I know this makes perfect sense, but this has not been reported in the literature in the context of a breeding program. So we see the same thing also follow soluble solid content, but we only have 2016 data set to show here. My throat is really dry actually, sorry. A final analysis I want to share with you today is our examination of the effect of planting gear within cultivars. So remember that desirable eating quality is a primary breeding target for apple breeding program, right? So because of that, the breeding program strives to plant elite cultivars such as Fuji, Gala, Crisp Pink, Honeycrisp every single year so that the new seedling selection can be tasted and compared with these elite important cultivars that are comparable in tree age. So you can really think of this annual planting as providing a baseline for breeders to make direct comparison of the seedlings with the elite cultivars. So let me go here real quick. So, and turns out this actually presents an opportune research question for us. Can we predict post-harvest traits of these fruits using fruits from other trees that are of the same cultivar but planted at a different year? So in this table, this is actually quite a complicated table, so I hope to clarify this completely. So in this table, what you see in the colored cell, those corresponds to what year the trees was planted. Yes. So what year the tree was planted. And that the color of the cell corresponds to whether or not the fruit was harvested in 2015 or 2016. And then on the left column, what you see is a different calibration model. And then what you see on the top rows are what are the validation set. So within the table matrix, each cell would correspond to the prediction result that is informed by the matrix RPD. And here I'm reintroducing the color-coded RPD to help you visualize what is predictive and what is not. Perhaps the first thing you may notice is the green cross diagonal. And this makes perfect sense to expect a high prediction accuracy when the calibration model is exactly the same as the validation model. But the next, so we see the same trend throughout for all other cultivars as well. And the next thing to note is that when doing within-year validation, it is generally more predictive to build calibration using fruits from more established trees. So I know that is a little bit complicated, so hear me out here. So for example, let's look at the example in Fuji. In validating 2013 data set, it is more predictive to use fruit that was calibrated to use calibration models using fruits that was planted, that was with the trees planted in 2010, than from the calibration model for the tree that was planted in 2011. And we see the same trend in all other cultivars, but I just don't have the time to let the slide sit here for some time. And the final message here is that it's generally quite unpredictable to use fruits harvested in 1 year to predict post-harvest traits of fruits from another year. And this is most likely due to the narrow standard deviation in the validation set. Remember, this is a within cultivar assessments and from a context of a breeding program, so there are not as many replication number there. Which means that there is not enough room for any prediction inaccuracy. And in fact, the example I have here for Fuji is actually quite robust in terms of prediction accuracy. And the one that suffers quite a bit is crisping due to the narrow standard deviation in the validation set as well as the limited replication numbers. So finally, for solid content, we see similar trend throughout, but a lower prediction accuracy overall when compared to dry matter concentration. And as I said earlier, we only have 2016 data set to evaluate. So, I could just end the presentation with a generic summary and conclusion slide, but drawing inspiration from a recent movement on Twitter that was spearheaded by Mike Morrison, a PhD student at Michigan State University. He championed a campaign to fix conventional academic posters with hashtag better poster. So I would like to end my presentation with digestible bite-sized information, hashtag better presentation. But the main takeaways here is that I hope you're convinced that we've shown that NIR prediction works at Washington State University from a context of an apple breeding program for predicting dry matter concentration and soluble solid content. But when it comes to building variety-specific calibration models, it's important to keep in mind that the age of the trees absolutely matters, because as the tree matures, the consistency of the fruits will probably be better than the trees of younger ones. And also be aware of across-year validation, especially when you do not have sufficient fruits to build the calibration model. With that, I'll leave this slide here as I take questions. Thank you.
We have time for one quick question.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay, so yes. You plan to continue doing this, and do you think you'll get to a year after which you'll be able to predict after 7 years of planting, you won't need to calibrate within a year?
Yeah, so like I said, I guess if the audience catch the point, the point is now, well, since you say that the cross-year validation doesn't seem to be as accurate, but the breeder size actually doesn't have the opportunity to calibrate within the same year because things ripen at around the same time. So what I'm trying to develop next is what is the threshold that is needed for us to have a cross-year validation to be robust enough. Because one of the earlier samples that we showed earlier, we worked with 1,000 fruits and we were able to get that to work. But what is the exact threshold? So my experience so far has shown that 50 is the absolute cutoff. Anything lower than that would be detrimental to the validation model. So thank you.